The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
So remember the name of Kwaku Adeboli. He's, this week anyway, the $2 billion man. He's that fraudulent trader who apparently lost $2 billion for Swiss bank UBS, which is beginning a chain of events that may result in a serious restructuring to be announced between now and the end of the year, and possibly a serious downgrade, which could come as early as this week. Joining us to talk about what a rogue trader can actually do to derail a huge institution like UBS is Jared Dillian. He's the author of Street Freak. He's a former trader for Lehman Brothers. Jared, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Great. So, first of all, we should point out that Lehman Brothers went down because of a very different chain of events than what we're talking about with UBS.
No, there was no rogue trading at Lehman Brothers. It was, you know, it was basically the direction the entire firm was heading in terms of the real estate market.
Is it fair, though, to say that even if the firm isn't headed towards the place where Kwaku Adeboli went, that there is a toleration of rogue trading practices on some level that gives them the kind of power that apparently this trader had?
No, I actually disagree. There's, you know, 99.99% of people on a trading floor are very professional about risk. They understand risk. They know how to measure risk. And most of all, they have the psychological makeup in order to be able to take a loss. The reason rogue trading happens is because you have somebody with something wrong in their DNA where they cannot bring themselves to lose money and close out a position and take responsibility for it.
So it's like the old Watergate situation. It's not the original crime. It's the cover-up that ends up costing the bank billions, right?
Exactly. What they're speculating with this rogue trader is that he probably had an error with Swiss franc. They don't know for sure, but he probably had an error and lost money and tried to cover it up by doubling its position and tripling its position and quadrupling its position.
Well, Jared Dillian, I mean, we are talking to the right guy here because you actually hold the same kind of job, have essentially the same responsibilities that Kwaku Adeboli did at UBS. And that the other famous rogue trader, and there's actually a whole number of them, Jerome Kerviel did at the Société Générale. How come you're different than them?
Well, like I said, I mean, it has to do with being professional about risk. It is the same job, though. I mean, this whole profession is called Delta One. And Delta One refers to any financial instrument that doesn't have nonlinearity, that doesn't have curvature. So swap
futures. Wait a minute. What's curvature?
Well, if you have an option contract, its price doesn't change at the same rate as the underlying stock or the underlying currency. Like there's a second derivative. There's some complex mathematics. I apologize, but if you're a Delta One trader, you deal with plain vanilla instruments where if it goes up a dollar, you make a dollar.
Okay, so when you're tempted to cover your losses because you can't bring yourself to report it to your superiors, you suddenly start to dabble into these other derivatives, which have a different kind of risk and potentially can actually have so much reward that they erase your loss. But if it doesn't work out that way, you're way south.
Well, maybe. I mean, you know, there's also another motivation for rogue trading. I mean, it looks like in this case, it was probably an error that was being covered up. But in the case of Jerome Kerviel at SocGen, it wasn't an error at all. He did it deliberately because he felt he was being underpaid and not recognized, and he wanted to make a lot of money for the firm so he could be recognized. So he did it deliberately.
We're speaking with Jared Dillian, author of Street Freak and a former trader at Lehman Brothers. But after Kerviel, Jared, the Financial Services Authority was supposed to put measures into place to prevent this from happening again. What happened?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, it's not just within the financial sphere. I mean, anytime you pass a law or anytime you make a regulation, it doesn't take long for people to figure their way around it, especially for somebody who knows how the system works. I mean, this trader at UBS, you know, like Kerviel, like he had a background in the back office. So he would know how to create a theoretically offsetting trade, a dummy position, so to speak, to cover up what he was doing.
All right, but Jared Dillian, just put me in the seat in front of the computer screen that Kwaku Adeboli might have been looking at. I mean, is it possible between, say, 10 o'clock and your lunch break at one of these investment banks that you can see a $2 billion trade and execute that without anybody, like, looking over your shoulder?
No, how it actually happens very small. What probably happened was he made an error and he lost $200,000. And rather than own up to the error, he doubled the size of the position, hoping to make the money back. But instead, he lost $400,000. And then he did it again, and then he lost $800,000. It's called a martingale, where you basically just double your losses over time trying to make it back. So that's how it gets to $2 billion.
But let me just tell you, I mean, if I lost $200,000 and went home and tried to, like, have a conversation with my wife, I think I would not be able to speak through sobs and seizure activity. I mean, how do you just tolerate $200,000 in losses, even if you know it's not your money?
The only thing I can say is that, you know, I mean, there's a whole wide range. I mean, this is a behavioral finance question. People have different tolerances for risk and different tolerances for loss. And when I started in the business, I had very, very little tolerance for loss. I could barely even take a $2,000 or $3,000 loss as a trader. That was heartbreaking to me. But over time, I became more and more accustomed to risk, and I took bigger and bigger risks.
All right. So what's your, you know, excuse me, but what's your threshold? You started out at a couple thou. So what gets you nervous? A $200,000?
Well, I don't trade anymore.
You know, a million?
I'm retired, and I have,
right.
You know, I have my own business. But, you know, towards the end, you know, I was managing a portfolio that was worth about $100 million, and I would be up or down about $1 or $2 million per day.
And down $2 million, you could go home and have no problem, go for a run, basically hang out, watch TV?
I mean, it's unpleasant, but statistically, it's still only about a 1.5 standard deviation move.
Oh, I love that. Wow. 1.5 standard deviation. Our dude, Jared Dillian, author of Street Freak, former trader for Lehman Brothers. What do you think happens now to Kwaku Adeboli?
Well, you know, I'm not a legal expert. I mean, this is beyond regulatory action. It's criminal for him, and there's a strong likelihood that he's going to go to jail, and that's really all I can say about it.
But as far as UBS is concerned, is it possible their investment banking business might be over by the end of the year if this restructuring goes forward?
I don't know where UBS is strategically. All I can say is that there are a lot of very, very unhappy bankers and traders at UBS right now because of the possibility that they might get smaller or no bonuses because of this.
And when the Swiss are unhappy, boy, look out. Kwaku Adeboli is the trader at UBS that caused this $2 billion loss. Jared Dillian, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Jared's the author of Street Freak. He's a former trader for Lehman Brothers. He spoke with us from his home in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.